Hello and welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host, Rob Cameron, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. This week, we're going to take a look at MLW Azteca, Episode 2, Hardcore Action. Once again, main event tonight is going to be Pagano taking on Caribbean legend Savio Vega. But first, the news. So the first chunk of news is going to be updated match cards for the Blood and Thunder event at Gillies in Dallas, Texas on January 21st. First of which is going to be a six-man mixed trios match. At least they're calling it mixed. It is going to be Eres, Gino Medina, and Mini Abismo Negro taking on El Dragon, Aramis, and a mystery opponent. So it's nifty to see the continued partnership of the Crash promotion and the inclusion of various luchadors into MLW and getting the full broad spectrum of Lucha Libre, now including the minis. Now all we need is the Exoticos, and we will be in groovy. In addition to our mixed trios match, we're going to have the middleweight championship up for grabs as Yoshihiro Tajiri returns to MLW to defend his middleweight championship against Myron Reed and a mystery opponent. More mystery coming into here. Let's just see how it goes. Yeah, I don't have much to add to it outside of, like, it's glad to see Tajiri back. Though I'm not necessarily enthused with the concept of Myron Reed becoming a three-time champ. Give someone else a chance at the belt, I guess. But, you know, whatever. It is what it is. I'm more curious to see who they're going to bring in as the mystery third. Though, they add some intrigue as there is going to be a middleweight title eliminator added to the Dallas return at Blood and Thunder as TJP Opera Cup Finals takes on Matt Cross. In addition to this, though the press release for this match implies the title eliminator to be more of a number one contenders match than it is to be added as the mystery person for the triple threat match. But we will wait and see how that goes. Matt Cross obviously needs a big win, and TJP is a good opponent to do it. And TJP is always dangerous, of course, and had his hot streak snapped at the hands of Davey Richards. Snapped twice, actually, just like his ankle. Oh, totally winced there, because that's what I do, bring you the hard-hitting news. And by hard-hitting news, I mean, of course, just rambling on incoherently, because this is a fan podcast supported by fans, so, you know, just some dude talking mostly without any actual real credentials. But despite my lack of real credentials, well, I have access to the same news everybody else does. So, you know, if you pay attention to the wrestling news, you've heard that MLW is filing an antitrust lawsuit against the World Wrestling Entertainment. This has potential to kind of shake the industry to its core in one direction or another. MLW on January 11th filed the suit in California based on ongoing attempts to, allegedly ongoing attempts between WWE trying to undermine competition and monopolize professional wrestling. I'll talk about WWE and their monopoly later on. And by later on, I mean, you know, something on the Patreon. So if you want to hear my thoughts on that, you know, check out the Patreon, which I'll plug at the end of the show. But the shortened version of the press release basically notes that WWE has tampered in MLW's affairs directly in three different ways, specifically. One, causing their deal with Vice TV to sour. Two, potential streaming deal with Tubi TV, to sour as well. Tubi TV is actually owned by Fox, which WWE SmackDown also is broadcasted on. And then last but not least, some like contract tampering as well. And really, like, these, all three of these things are very serious allegations. And to actively bring them to court is, well, I mean, interesting to say the least, but Like, is kind of a big effing deal overall. Because again, they within this, they invoke the Sherman Antitrust Act. So they're really going after WWE's a monopoly in addition to tampering with the streaming services. And overall, MLW is looking for over $44 million in damages, the amount alleging that the deals that were that fell through were worth. But really, going along with the antitrust stuff, like, this is where things get interesting, because, I mean, again, let's face it, for their all practical purposes, WWE has been professional wrestling for the past, like, 35 years or so. You know, you can argue at various points, like, it really took, you know, it really hit its stride in 2001 when it bought WCW and ECW, but really, like, WWE has been synonymous with wrestling long before then. And they also have very deep pockets, and these are also very serious accusations that MLW is making overall, especially with the tampering. So as much as, like, I would like to see wrestling, I don't know, become unionized or, you know, more, you know, a bit more diversity within the top levels of professional wrestling, I hope Court Bauer has all of his ducks in a line, and I hope that what he's alleging is true. I mean, I'm not going to say one way or another, you know, what proof he has for these allegations, but, like, they better be, like, definitive proof of some sort of tampering, because if not, this also has very serious consequences for Major League Wrestling as well. So we are going to see how this story develops, and, you know, it can, I mean, in terms of it developing, it really goes, like, one of two ways, either an out-of-court settlement or pretty much a major stalling tactic, which WWE likes to use to just kind of wait out their opponents. Both are used quite a bit in any lawsuit against the WWE. But again, like, if this moves forward, I really hope that court has definitive proof of the accusations he's making, because otherwise he's really opening himself up to a lot of repercussions, legally speaking as well. But that's overall about the extent of what I know about this here lawsuit. Of course, all this stuff is also online, so if you check out your wrestling news sources, they'll be there too. But that's something that's rather interesting, and I feel like has flown under the radar just a wee bit, just especially going after the antitrust stuff. All right, let's cut into the meat of the show. MLW Azteca episode 2. We start the show off with a recap of last week. Richard Holiday, he was detained by police. Pagano turns on Alexander Hammerstone, who was then kidnapped by the Lucha Goons of Cesar Duran. Mr. Duran opens up the show, turns on the fans, like, lets everyone know that everybody was upset and sending him mean tweets after last week, and he doesn't care, because at one point, he cared about the believers, but their caring allowed his temple to fall, so now he just views us all as a bunch of spoiled renegades, blah blah blah, you people. But he notes Alexander Hammerstone is an example of what happens when people don't bend the knee to him. So even the world champ needs to kind of, you know, step in line and toe the Cesar Duran line. Otherwise, there are negative consequences to be had. But in the meanwhile, let's lucha. Coming into our first match, well, actually, getting there, I kind of skipped a line here, but as we go into our first match, there we go, that's how you do a segue, ladies and gentlemen, we have Rich Bocchini and Joe Drombowski hyping up our card for tonight. Alexander Kane will be taking on Aerostar for the National Openweight Championship. In our main event, it'll be Savio Vega versus Pagano in a hardcore match. And starting right now, finally, is 5150 versus Scalibur and Black Destiny for the MLW Tag Team Championship. And before Excalibur and Destiny even really make it into the ring and get set up, 5150 start beating him down. We get a brief interlude of 5150 running down the Von Erichs, talking about how, because they're a dynasty, they're all entitled and just get title shots because they, you know, come from a wrestling family and they happen to be in Dallas. But really, that doesn't change the result of anything. 5150's fought for everything they've had, and they're going to fight to keep the titles in Dallas. Back in the ring, though, we see a lot of double teaming from 5150, really just keeping both Excalibur and Black Destiny down for the count. Well, not quite yet. I mean, the match is still going on, but really focusing on Black Destiny, though he eventually dodges a Danny Limelight / Rivera, charges to the corner, hits a top rope dropkick of his own, gets the tag in. Excalibur comes in to clean up, but unfortunately the tandem offense of 5150 is too much. We get the double stop DVD combo. 1, 2, 3. Your champs, 5150 retain. After the match, Conan gets on the mic and runs down the team of Aerostar and Drago. Evidently, there was a press conference, and Drago and Aerostar had some things to say about 5150 and the tag team championships. So Conan basically calls them out. Aerostar and Drago come out, and we has Brawl going up the back, and that's how we end our opening contest. It's an interesting affair. It was a lot of, in a strange way, like, it was closer to, like, I'd call it, like, an American Lucha. Like, you know, very loose with the rules, tags being made by rolling to the floor and whatnot. But really, it wasn't all about the aerial ballet, because 5150 don't play that game. But really, it was a short and sweet affair. The tag team champs got to look strong, and we got some promotion out of the deal by Black Destiny and Excalibur. Moving on, in the Caribbean, in Puerto Rico, Alicia Tute is with Savio Vega. He has problems with Cesar Duran, especially with what happened with Hammerstone, because him and Hammer are tight, of course. And on top of that, Cesar owns a good chunk of IWA Puerto Rico, which was Savio Vega's company. He wants his company back. Evidently, Cesar has promised him some control over IWA Puerto Rico if Savio wins his match tonight with Pagano, so he's fighting for his company. We also learn that after the events between Casey Navarro and Enzo, in which Casey Navarro suffered a broken neck, Court Bauer has demanded that Enzo apologize for his actions in addition to fining him. Emilio Sparks runs down, catches up with Enzo, and basically Enzo's like, yeah, I taught Casey a lesson. And that lesson is never turn your back on somebody. It's disrespectful. And then just drives off. In other news, in addition to Alexander Hammerstone re-signing with the company, it was announced last week that Davey Richards has re-signed with MLW, signing a multi-year extension to his already existing contract. And also, Court is demanding answers about Hammerstone's whereabouts from Cesar Duran. Otherwise, we are moving on. Emilio Sparks, he's with Richard Holiday, both looking for Alexander Hammerstone, but basically Holiday is like, hey, if you don't know where Hammer is, get out of the way. Holiday wanders over to some Lucha thugs outside of Cesar's office, but Alicia Tute magically appears and is like, they're not worth it, they're not worth it. And he's like, they're totally worth it if they know where Hammer is, but Alicia drags him away, so I guess good on him for listening to Alicia, even though, I don't know, I think he was on the right track anyway. I mean, one of those people in front of the door may have known where Hammer was, and if they didn't, the guy inside the office probably does. But hey, you know, what do I know? Actually, one thing I do know is it's time to take a break, take a pause for the cause, listen to the people that help keep this podcast up and running, get your energy drinks, get your melatonin, and I'll see you un momento.
Now, whether you're someone who works out, or, like me, needs to maintain focus and mental clarity, we could all use a pick-me-up. That's where Raise Energy steps in. With Refresh technology, Raise provides a hydrating, sugar-free boost of energy without the crash some other energy drinks have. You can find out where you can get Raise Energy near you by visiting www.repsports.com, and while you're there, check out the other products that Rep offers, such as pre- and post-workout supplements and snacks. And if you want some extra savings, order online and apply my discount code CASS. That's CASS at checkout for 15% off your order.
All right, we are back with a video hyping up EJ and Duka, continuing the theme of him loving competition, leading him to professional wrestling, and he's coming back hard in Dallas. Also, 5150 are backstage talking smack about Drago and Aerostar when one of the Lucha underlings of Cesar Duran comes up with a note. They kind of mock it like it's grade school. Oh, do you like me? Yes or no? Oh, do you want me to face Aerostar and Drago next week for the MLW World Tag Team Championships? Yes or no? Blah. But anyway, that's happening next week. It is official. That note basically confirms that we are having a tag team title match next week as well. Speaking of title matches, it is time for our second match of the evening for the National Openweight Championship. It is Alex Kane taking on Aerostar. But before we get to that, we get breaking news that Court Bauer has suspended Enzo because Enzo refused to apologize for what he did to Casey Navarro. Back to the ring, though, after a slow start, Aerostar takes over with some Lucha Libre offense, got some speed going on for him, with the coup de grace being a spinning cross body block. Unfortunately, he goes to the well too many times, and Alex Kane catches him off a cross body and hits a fall-away slam. Big belly-to-belly suplex overhead style, and some cross faces for good measure, like practically like kills Aerostar. He's just laying like face down in the ring. Aerostar, though, does slip out of a suplex and hits up a step up topek on Ilo outside the ring. Just as, you know, Aerostar is getting his groove on, 5150 appears, pushes him off the top rope while the referee's distracted by Alex Kane. This allows Kane to hit to lock in the Kata Hajime and just chokes Aerostar out. He's dead. Like, he woke up from the crossfaces, didn't wake up from the Kata Hajime. I'm not going to lie coming into this match, because like, I was really worried that they would just, not necessarily squash Aerostar, but him having a loss going into the tag team title match next week, I didn't think would have looked good. But at least they, used it to tell a story and to continue the thing going on with 5150. So that way he's protected in his loss. So it's okay for him to lose an openweight title match while still getting a tag team title shot next week. But that's just my humble opinion. Anyway, Emilio Sparks finds Cesar Duran backstage, wants to know where Hammer is. Cesar finds a Lucha underling, gives him a note, but kind of like rags on his appearance. The judge, AJ Duka, comes in, wants to know what's going on with Hammer, and Cesar's like, hey, like, you're a leader of the locker room, you know, I know you've said some things, but come in, let's talk about it. And so EJ and Cesar walk into the office, leaving Emilio outside. We get a brief promo video hyping up Bestia Cesar. He is returning soon to the rings of MLW. How soon? We'll find out momentarily, because in a dark, dank room, being held by chains and Lucha underlings, a wild Mads Kruger is trying to escape, and this would explain why I haven't disappeared yet, despite his, his intended stalkings, because he's been locked in the bowels of, I don't know, wherever. But Carly Perez shows up, and he demands his freedom from her. And she's like, oh, your rage is intoxicating, but, you know, you gotta do stuff for us, because Contra kind of messed things up in MLW, and we can't have that anymore. And Mads is like, Contra's dead, I want the Judas, I want the guy who betrayed us all, I want Jacob Fatu, and I want to be free to do it. And Carly's throws out that basically, yeah, that sounds fun, but he has to earn this, and he's going to earn this by taking on and annihilating Bestia Cesar next week. We get another update from Emilio Sparks. He's watching some Lucha underling that doesn't look quite right walk down into the warehouse that's assumed to be Cesar Duran's. We cut away to Gnarls Garvin working out in his garage. He's looking to prove that athletes aren't the only ones who get to eat. And boy, he's going to eat some dinner, lunch, and breakfast. Backstage, Davey Richards is on the floor without his opera cup. What happened? Nobody knows. I like to think he's just taking a nap because Davey's like really intense, and you know, sometimes like being that intense is exhausting. Like sometimes you just have to sleep on the wooden floor backstage. But he can nap, but unfortunately he's missing the main event if he naps, because that's coming up now. Pagano, Savio Vega, hardcore match. He's just going to sleep through it, but you know, I guess that's why he's just the Opera Cup winner, and I'm a podcaster living in my mother's basement with my jacuzzi full of pizza rolls. Anywho, we has match. Savio Vega. Savio Vega is angry. He wants to know what's going on with Hammer. He wants to beat up the Betrayer, and he wants his company back. Just even before the bell even rings, he's putting the boots to Pagano, stomping away on the corner, just stomping a mud hole in him. Savio gets the chairs out and takes a couple swings for good measures, because, of course, hardcore match, we gotta use the plastic chairs here. But Pagano doesn't tolerate this for long, hits a big clothesline and takes over for a bit. Hits a slingshot elbow, but only gets a two count out of the deal. The crowd is thoroughly behind Pagano, so I think it's interesting, at least this time around, that once again MLW is just kind of choosing to ignore what the crowd's doing. At least they're just not totally denying and being like, oh, they're split, or oh yeah, listen to him boo Pagano, when they're like actively cheering him, and a couple of people are like way too enthusiastic cheering him in the process. But the crowd is thoroughly behind Pagano. We do finally make it out of the ring, though, because that's mandatory in a hardcore match too. I would be thoroughly disappointed if we didn't go outside the ring at least once. Pagano just shoves Savio into the gate. I assume that was the like garage, but there's a giant metal bars there. Got shoved into those and just starts biting Savio in the forehead. So we have blood. So that makes me a very happy camper, because one thing I do love in my professional wrestling is the addition of blood. So we get that. Inside the ring, Savio cuts off another slingshot attempt and goes for a choking pin, but it gets a two count. Go to commercial break, and when we come back, Pagano hits a springboard dropkick on Savio. Savio is set up on the top rope. Pagano gets up a thumbtacks, goes for a superplex, but it's for naught. Savio just drops him on his tummy in the thumbtacks. But, you know, luckily when there's a bunch of thumbtacks around you and in your tummy, there's plenty of thumbtacks to throw into Savio Vega's eyes. Ha! You are now blinded. And that allows Pagano to finish things off, take Savio down, place a chair on top of him, and hit a twisting moonsault for the 1-2-3. So, you know, it is an alright match between the two of them. I mean, again, Savio Vega is a legend, but he doesn't move near as crispy as he used to. But on the other hand, like, he's best used in these hardcore brawls, so I feel like it served its purpose, but, you know, could have done better, maybe. I don't know. So, had some more fire. There wasn't a whole lot of fire in this match between, despite being a hardcore match. That may or may not have been for a stake of IWA Puerto Rico. So, I don't know, that's kind of like my little critique on it. But whatever, we had blood, so that satiated some of my complaints. As Pagano's kind of playing to the crowd, next week we get Jacob Fatu breaking his silence. 5150 versus Drago and Aerostar for the MLW World Tag Team Championships. And Mads Kruger taking on Bestia Seis. So this next week should be a fun show, hopefully, at least in ring-wise. And it's good to see what Fatu is up to since the demise of Contra. But hey! Amelia Sparks is screaming about something outside. Looks like he's following the Lucha Dude in the basement. We hear pounding on the walls. And we get to see like things like written in Sharpie, including Selena and Killshot. Some callbacks to Lucha Underground, and then the beginning of the Cesar Duran era in MLW. Eventually get to a door that's labeled Hammerstone. We open up the grate and Hammer's arm comes out and like wraps his hand around the Lucha guy's throat. But that Lucha guy happens to be Richard Holiday, who lets Hammer out. So Hammer is now free from the warehouse and I assume, is looking for revenge, or at least assumed to be what he starts screaming about outside Cesar Durant. And that is how we end our show, with the rescuing of ya boy, Alexander Hammerstone. All right, so the show went by rather quickly. A lot of things happened in a relatively short period of time, and but overall, it did move a lot of things along nicely, even if it wasn't, maybe the best in wrestling at the moment, especially you're looking at your main event anyway. And despite the National Open Weight Championship match, despite telling a solid story, it did leave a little bit lacking in the action department there as well. But again, wrestling doesn't have to be 1,000 miles per hour all the time, especially if we're kind of playing the long game in terms of keeping stories flowing. And today's episode was definitely a much more story-driven show than it was based on in-ring action. But, as I said, we got some developments coming up next week, and I'm actually looking forward to the return of Bestia Seis and Mads Kruger being in action as well. I feel like Aerostar and Drago, I miss seeing them. It's been a while since they've graced my television set. I mean, granted, that's indirectly my own choice with my viewing habits, but still, I miss seeing those two guys. Loved them in Lucha Underground. I'm of course, morbidly curious of where this MLW Azteca saga goes, in addition to what's now going on behind the scenes. So I am going to move along, because that was MLW Azteca episode 2. I'm going to move along and just, stew in my conspiracy theories, and actually more talk about things for the Patreon backers. So stay tuned for the plugs, and included those plugs is that Patreon, so you get that exclusive content as well. In the meanwhile, thank you all for listening. I will see you all next week. Thank you for listening to MLW Confusion. MLW Confusion is written and narrated by Rob Kammer, but is not affiliated with Major League Wrestling. The opening theme is written and performed by Rob Kammer, and what you are listening to right now is Ruined My Day by Alan L. Schroeder. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, and leave a review. Also, be sure to tell your friends, family, and enemies about the show. Word of mouth is very important to us small businesses. You can also get up to date with the thoughts and ramblings at the social media at the links in the description. If you'd like to support monetarily and help out, and to upgrade our equipment too, by the way, you can in the following ways. First, our virtual tip jar is at www.ko-fi.com/Casanova. That is CASSONOVA. Or, for more bang for your buck, join our Patreon at www.patreon.com/Casanova. For as little as $1 a month, you can get access to MLW Confusion early and ad-free, plus get weekly exclusive goodies. So be like the OGs, Maverick 45 and Alan Schroeder, and check that out! Also, for your energy, sleep, and workout needs, check out repsports.com and use the coupon code CASS at checkout to get 15% off your order.